Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Let's pray. We praise you, Father, for your word given to us, for the light of Christ that came that day. Lord, we ask that you would illumine our hearts now to hear your word, to understand, to rejoice, to worship in spirit and in truth. May we hear and obey and worship you and know you more fully. Lord, come to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here is something we don't always notice about the Christmas story. What is the first thing that God says after all those wonderful promises and proclamations of joy and peace on earth and goodwill toward man in the Christmas story? What's the very first thing that he says next? Run. Run, Joseph. Get your family out and run. Violence is upon you. There is more to this story than peace and goodwill. The peace is shattered before it even gets out the door. Goodwill? How about hatred? Joseph is woken in the night to discover that the dragon is coming. The dragon has come to devour the child and Rachel's children too, if you read further. He has to run for his life and the life of his family. Peace has been promised, but violence has been delivered. What a mystery. What a strange and shocking turn in the story where we have just been promised peace and goodwill. What happened? My glass of eggnog was still half full, because that's the kind of person I am. And here comes this message to run. Where's the peace? Where's the goodwill? Well, they are coming, but it's all about the manner in which they will come. It turns out that this little baby in the manger is a dragon slayer. He is bringing holy violence upon the earth, and he has come to kill the dragon and to rescue his people. And his people, well now, his people are spread out across all time, from all over the earth, from every tribe and every nation. And he has come for them. And the way that he will rescue them is by killing that dragon through the cross, crushing its head. That serpent from the garden of long ago, the devil, Satan himself. Matthew is not just telling us the Christmas story, all snug and warm with a hot cup of cocoa. His story is much broader in scope. The story of all time, the fall and redemption of man, the love of God and the defeat of the darkness. This is not a quaint Christmas story. This is an epic of which Christmas is just a part, and this story matters, and it matters to each one sitting here today. The Savior has come. One way or another, he has come for you. Out of Egypt I called my son. This is just as much a part of the Christmas story as the rest of it. Matthew put it right here. Right here in the Christmas story. We usually think of Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men in the manger. The cattle are lowing and sleep in heavenly peace. But the message that Matthew has for us as he tells the Christmas story is far more explosive than a silent star guiding the way. It is far more dangerous than King Herod and all his impotent violence. Matthew's story is far bigger than Bethlehem. It's far bigger than Christmas. And so today we want to take that journey that Matthew has laid out here for us in these verses. It's not the usual Christmas road through Caesar and the census, through the town of Nazareth and the star of the Nazareth. Nazareth, there's a good biblical word. You can look it up. Not now, Jason. He wasn't. It's okay. I think it's in Job. There is a greater story here that Matthew wants us to find. Now let's see if we can follow the thread that he gives us. Out of Egypt I called my son. Why does he put that there? What does that mean? Matthew is referring back to an Old Testament prophecy. He's thinking way back. He's going way back into the past. We follow the thread. This comes from a verse in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. He says this, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Now in Hosea chapter 11, he is plainly speaking about the nation of Israel. He's looking back. He's talking about the nation of Israel when they were in slavery and when they came up out of Egypt. It's about them. Quite plainly so. That's the context. But here now, Matthew was telling us that there's more. He's telling us that Jesus is the true fulfillment of this prophecy, of this event. What Hosea was talking about all the way back as the slaves come out of Egypt. Matthew says, there's a thread here. This matters. Jesus is the true fulfillment of this event. He's the fulfillment. He is God's Son who has heard his Father's call to come up out of Egypt. So what's going on here? As Hosea, writing this, looked back on the nation of Israel coming up out of Egypt, and if you read further in Hosea chapter 11, he starts to recount all their failures as Israel came out and their sinfulness, their failure to obey. As Hosea is looking back on the nation of Israel coming up out of Egypt, the scriptures we find here are also looking forward to the true son who would be called out of Egypt and his subsequent success. So, according to Matthew, the nation that Hosea was talking about, the nation of Israel, they were the shadow of the one who was to come. The true fulfillment is Christ. What a mystery is this? Who saw that coming? And Matthew points out, he says, this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. God was saying it through Hosea. And God knew, and God had foreordained that this was going to be fulfilled by Christ. So here's what Matthew is pointing out. Israel is a type that foreshadowed the reality. Matthew wants us to know, at Christmas time, that this baby, this Jesus, he is the true son that was called out of Egypt. He is the fulfillment. He is the son that's being talked about. But he did not sin like the nation of Israel did. So why does Matthew tell us this? What does it matter? What does it matter? Why is this so important? Why would he put it here? Why do we care? Well, he tells us this because for us, for you and I, it is going to make all the difference in the world. Who is Jesus? By putting that phrase in there, "Out of Egypt I called my son," he is telling us something. The shadows in the Old Testament are everywhere. We see them all over. And we find that in Christ, they are realized in their true form. And they are fulfilled. So we consider the following. We're going to read in the scriptures that Jesus is the fulfillment of what was promised to Abraham. Here's the thread that Matthew has picked up for us. Jesus is the fulfillment of what was promised to Abraham. Well, what was promised to Abraham? If you recall, Abraham was promised three things: land, descendants, and blessing. Now, to whom do those promises belong? We read that they belong to Abraham and they belong to Jesus. Jesus is the one. He is the seed. This is Galatians 3:16. Galatians 3:16. Now, the promises, land, descendants, and blessing. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ. So according to Paul, Abraham's offspring is Christ. Let that sink in. Abraham's offspring is Christ. Jesus is the true Son. He is the offspring. An offspring of one, of what the promise to Abraham was referring. This is what we're gleaning from Galatians chapter 3. Abraham's offspring is Christ. Jesus is the true Son. He is the offspring of Abraham. That's what Matthew wants us to know. And Paul agrees, Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Christ is the one to whom the promises of Abraham are given. Christ is the reality that stands behind all the shadows. Christmas is all about fulfillment and light. Think of it. The Bible says that Jesus is the true tabernacle. He is the true temple. He is the true Passover lamb, the true prophet, priest, and king. Greater than David, he is David's Lord. He is the true bread from heaven, the true manna, the true rock from which the water pours. He is the true brazen serpent lifted up to bring healing. He is the fulfillment of the law of Moses. He is Abraham's true seed, the one. The one to whom the promises to Abraham were given, to him and to his offspring, Jesus. And now we pick it up right here. We find that Jesus is the true Son that was called out of Egypt from Hosea. Christ is the reality behind all the shadows, the one to whom belongs the kingdom and the inheritance. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who was promised to Adam and Eve way back. God with us, before whom every knee will bow, both Jew and Gentile. The promises and the kingdom are his. Now we come to it. The promises to Abraham weren't for a nation, but for a person. Galatians 3:16. Offspring, one. They weren't for a nation, they were for a person. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Here is Matthew's message. This is why he puts it here, because it matters. And all of history hinges on this moment. What was begun way back in the garden, it was foreshadowed by the nation of Israel coming up out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt, and is about to be filled in Christ, starting in the manger. Merry Christmas indeed. When Matthew tells us that Jesus is God's Son who was called up out of Egypt, he wants us to pick up on something big. He wants us to realize who Jesus is. We have read in the scriptures that the nation of Israel and Jesus have both been called God's Son. Back in Exodus 4:22, God says through Moses that Israel, the nation of Israel, is his son. And now we hear that Jesus is the Son. These two have been compared to one another. And we see this comparison. As soon as Jesus is born, these parallels start, and we see Jesus succeeding and fulfilling where Israel foreshadowed and ultimately failed. So they both come up out of Egypt. Both of them have been called sons. They're both sons. They both heard the call. Come up out of Egypt. You see them both doing the same thing. And then both of them enter into the waters of baptism. Jesus into the Jordan River with John the Baptist. And Israel through the Red Sea. The Bible says that Israel was baptized into Moses through the Red Sea. So they both have come up out of Egypt. They both have entered the waters of baptism. After their baptisms, both Israel and Jesus entered the desert to be tried. Israel for 40 years, Jesus for 40 days. Israel fails to obey the law during this time of testing, and they are turned back from the promised land to die in the desert until, by the grace of God, the next generation should come of age. Jesus, however, fulfills the law perfectly. And so he enters the promised land, the kingdom of God, to reign. He does not sin, and he is accepted. He succeeds as the true son called out of Egypt. The message we hear is clear and repetitive. Jesus is the son of the promise. He is the seed of Abraham. He's the obedient son. He's the one to whom the promises apply. He is the glory, and no one will rob him of it. He is obedient in every way, even to death on the cross. Now our Christmas story starts to explode. This isn't just joy to Israel. It's joy to the world. It is joy to you, to us Gentiles. We're the Gentiles, you and I. Now in making this connection, Matthew has set us on a path that simply begins to grow with each passing thought. So let's keep following the thread. Israel was the shadow. Christ is the reality. Between Israel and Christ, of only one, did God say, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." And what does he say of Israel, those under the old covenant from Hebrews? With whom was God angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And so I swore in my wrath, they will never enter my rest. The joy of Christmas is meant to spill over into everything. Jesus is the Son. He is the one to whom the promises apply. And in him, they are all yes. Right from 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That's why it is through him we utter our amen to God for his glory. So, here we are. If Jesus is the seed of Abraham, and he is, and the promises to Abraham apply to him, and they do, what does that mean for you and I? What does that mean for us? What is Matthew really getting at? Well, let's look at the promises. This is where we're going to see the floodgates begin to open. What did God say to Abraham from Genesis 17, verse 7? Here is what God says. He goes, "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you to be God to you and to your offspring after you." So Paul has told us that this promise was given to Abraham and to his offspring, who is Jesus. It's fulfilled in him. Because Jesus fulfilled all the requirements of the law perfectly, he showed himself to be the true son, he inherited all the promises given to Abraham. Now, Jesus has been promised the kingdom, land, descendants, and blessing. How about that? Can you see that? It all belongs to Christ. He was the point all along. What Israel foreshadowed, Jesus is fulfilling. What was promised to Abraham is being received by Christ. It all belongs to him and is fulfilled by him, and now in him and only in him, all the promises are yes and amen. Out of Egypt, I called my son. And Matthew says, that is Jesus. Right out of the gate. The baby is born. Matthew's telling the story, and he's like, look, I want you to know what this means. Right? You get that message, Emmanuel, God with us, peace on earth, and we get excited, like, well, that's amazing. And now Matthew zooms in a little closer. He says, no, I want you to really know what this means. What is he getting at? He's the true Son. That is Jesus. He's the Son. Israel was the type. Jesus is the reality. And so now the floodgates open. This is where Matthew is going. Here are the unsearchable riches of God's grace for you. Jesus is the offspring of Abraham. Now see what comes of this. Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, if you are Christ's, what does it say? Galatians 3:29. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Now can you wrap your head around that? Here is the message of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. It is in Christ that the promises are fulfilled. He is the true Son, called out of Egypt. And now we read, for those who are in Christ, Jew or Gentile, believers, Christians, those who are in Christ, they share in the inheritance that belongs to Jesus, the promises to Abraham. It's one continuous story of which Christmas is a part. Therefore, as a child of God, you are Abraham's offspring. You are a co-heir with Christ. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. And you are heirs according to the promise. Land, descendants, and blessing belong to you. Huh. Okay. Then Paul says in Romans 9 verse 6, just to make this clear, he says it plainly, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God. It's not. But the children of the promise who are regarded as descendants. And we just read in Galatians that they are those who have put their faith in Jesus, Jew and Gentile alike. It is only by faith in Christ that anyone becomes a child of Abraham. Well, that's amazing. It's like Jesus when he warned the Pharisees, don't think that you can say Abraham is your father. God can take these rocks and make children of Abraham. That's not the problem. You don't get there just by being born into a nation. You don't get there by circumcision. You don't get there by obeying the law. It is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God. It is only by faith that anyone becomes a child of Abraham. So it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God. Ethnic Israel, if you will. But it's the children of the promise who are regarded as descendants. So here's the statement in all its shocking glory. This is offensive to many. Ethnic Israel, the nation of Israel, they are not the descendants of Abraham. You are. If you are in Christ. That's what we've just read. You become a child of Abraham only through faith. There is no other way. Not by birth into a nation, but by faith. And then Paul says, and if you are children, then you are heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Therefore, the children of God in Christ share in the inheritance of Christ, which is the promises made to Abraham. We are still in one story, all the way through. We don't have two separate stories. We got one story being fulfilled in Christ. So through Abraham, through these promises, let's keep following the thread, Jesus has been promised offspring. Right? That was part of the promise to Abraham and his seed, which is Christ, we have learned. He has been promised countless offspring, more numerous than the stars of the sky, in the sand of the sea. Do you remember? Okay, so where are these offspring? Where do we look for them? Well, they're here. Some of them, right here in this room. Right now. They are those who have come by faith and are now children of God, co-heirs with Christ. You, believer, Christian, you are the living fulfillment of the prophecy to Abraham. How about that for good news? peace on earth, goodwill toward men. How did I get in? How did I get in? They are those who have come by faith, and now they are children of God, co-heirs with Christ. So by faith, then, we are his children, not through the law, not through circumcision, not through the temple, not through Moses, but by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are now co-heirs with Christ and are the children of God. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus, Jew or Gentile. There is one way. There is no other. And his kingdom now is being built. Land, descendants, and blessing. His kingdom is being built, made up of Jews and Gentiles that have heard this call to come up out of Egypt. Not by circumcision or uncircumcision, but by repentance and faith. One new man. Now all come and are saved, are set free, and are brought in together into the family of God. Now each one that comes to God through faith in Jesus, each one now leaves the slavery of Egypt. You leave your slavery to sin and death. This is coming up out of Egypt. And then we go through the waters of baptism as foreshadowed by Israel, as fulfilled by Christ. We are called to follow. We come up out of our slavery. We come up out of Egypt. We go through the waters of baptism. We are currently being led through the desert, through the trials and tribulations of the Christian life, being tested. Life in the church, all the way on to the promised land. That new Jerusalem, that true Jerusalem of which the earthly city is but a shadow. The new Jerusalem, the Bible tells us, is the dwelling place of God. And this has been the plan of God since eternity past. Those who put their faith in Jesus, Christians, they are the people of God, as the scriptures have said. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. No one is a child of God other than those who come by faith. They are the elect from before time, now revealed as sons of God through faith, the true children of Abraham, revealed to the world, confirmed by their suffering, and they follow him as they are being built into the temple of God where he will dwell forevermore. Out of Egypt I called my son. We are those now who hear that call. We leave our sin and our slavery. We pass through the baptismal waters of death and resurrection, and we are called to holiness, on to the promised land, eternal life, the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you, meaning believers, Christians, but you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Behold, true Israel revealed. This is the thread that Matthew has started when he says, out of Egypt I called my son. It was foreshadowed by Israel, fulfilled by Christ. This is the thread. And this is where Matthew wants us to celebrate and see the fulfillment of this one long story. Not two, one. This is what should be bringing us joy, why we sing carols and give gifts and get together, eat and celebrate and all the rest. This is the peace of God given to men. That little baby is the hope of the world. Dragon Slayer. This is what the angels were proclaiming. Jesus the Son, who will be called out of Egypt, given as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins, to gather God's elect from the four corners of the earth, Jew and Gentile alike, through faith in Jesus, one path to make one new man, to find and gather in his chosen people, the church, that new Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, the dwelling place of God. In Christ, Satan lies defeated at the foot of the cross, at the open door of the empty tomb. That dragon from which Joseph fled is dead. And now the message of Christmas is to be proclaimed throughout all the world to all who will believe. Jesus is the Son of God, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And we go. And we go. And we go on to the promised land, that heavenly city. His chosen people by faith, one new man, made up of all peoples, tribes, and nations. True Israel revealed at last. Because the promises are Christ's and the descendants are his. He has fulfilled them and he has called. And we hold forth the light of the world for all the world to see. This Jesus we proclaim. It is he and there is no other. Dear Christian, hear the angels declare. This day in the city of David, he has come for you, children of Abraham. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. May Christ be yours this Christmas, and may you be his, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Father, the story is unsearchable and amazing. You've laid it out here for us, and you have called us. Lord, it's beyond our comprehension how we could become your people. And yet by faith in Christ, we believe it, we know it, and it is true, it is real. We praise you, Father. May this Christmas season sink deep into our hearts as we consider the mystery, as we consider the wonder, as we consider the story, as we come and worship our living and resurrected Lord, of whom we are now the descendants, co-heirs with Christ, and all its beauty. Father, you have shed abroad your love into our hearts. May we do so to one another and to all the world. May the light grow. May your kingdom come. Have your way amongst your people, Lord. We pray your blessing upon us as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.